It's all about Jesus. Yes, all about Jesus and what he accomplished. You can open up your Bibles to Philippians. Philippians chapter 4, familiar scripture, 13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Good News Translation. I have the strength to face all conditions by the power that Jesus Christ gives me. The Passion. I find that the strength of Christ's explosive power infuses me to conquer every difficulty. And we got to finish it with the Amplified. I can do all things which he has called me to do through him who strengthens and empowers me to fulfill his purpose. I am self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. I am ready for anything and equal to anything through him who infuses me with inner strength and confident peace. It's all about Jesus. So who strengthens us? Christ. And through him we can do what? All things. The power we receive in our union with him is sufficient to do his will for our life and to face the challenges that arise from our commitment to doing it. As we contend for the faith, we will face troubles, pressures, and trials. And as they come, oh, and yes, they will come. We can ask Christ to strengthen us. We just call out and say what the Word says. And let's say it. I can
do all things
through Christ. Who strengthens me? It's all about Jesus and what he did. Amen?
Amen?
And what he did was make us clean. He cleansed us from all of our sins with his precious blood. He got us ready to be adopted into the family. We were given the news of what he did. And we believed it. Because we're believers. And we believed it in our heart to be true. And we asked, okay? And I'm going to say that. We asked him to come into our heart and to be our Lord and to be our Savior. And at that moment, we received the Spirit of adoption. God placed the Spirit of his Son into our hearts so that we became, in effect, his natural born children. We are not just adopted, but genuinely begotten by God. Now, folks, I'm not making this up. It's right here in God's Word. And if we are God's children, then that makes us a king's kid. Say, I'm a king's kid. And if king's kids, then why are we living the life of a pauper? With a daddy who is wealthy beyond what you can envision. A daddy, if you ask, will supply all of your needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. 19, that's Philippians 4:19. Now turn to Romans. Romans chapter 8. I'm going to read the New King James first, and then I'm going to follow it with the Passion. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if we live according to the flesh, we will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. That's us. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage, again, to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father, Daddy. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. Now the Passion Translation. So then, beloved ones, the flesh has no claims on us at all, and we have no further obligation to live in obedience to it. For when you live controlled by the flesh, you are about to die. But if the life of the Spirit puts to death the corrupt ways of the flesh, we then taste His abundant life. We're talking about the Holy Spirit in you. Makes you put away the flesh. Letting you taste His abundant life. We're talking about Christ here. 14. The mature children of God are those who are moved by the impulses of the Holy Spirit. And you did not receive the spirit of religious duty, leading you back into the fear of never being good enough. That's what religion does. Makes you think you aren't worthy enough. But you received the spirit of full acceptance, enfolding you into the family of God. And you will never feel orphaned, for as He raises up within us, our spirits join Him in saying the words of the tender affection, Beloved Father, Daddy. For the Holy Spirit makes God's fatherhood real to us as He whispers into our innermost being, You are God's beloved child. And since we are His true children, we qualify to share all His treasures. For indeed, we are heirs of God Himself. And since we are joined to Christ, we also inherit all that He is and all that He was and has. We will experience being co-glorified with Him, provided that we accept His sufferings as our own. Adoption. Adoption is an act whereby one person takes another person into his family, calling them his son or his daughter, and treats them as such. Moses was adopted by Pharaoh's daughter. Esther was adopted by Mordecai. Those are natural adoptions. But see, we're talking about we received the spirit of adoption into God's family. In a spiritual sense, it is an act of, ready for this? Grace. Whereby God chooses into the dear relationship of His children. And that is every true believer in His Son. The Holy Spirit is, to us, the believers, the inner witness of our adoption. The Holy Spirit communicates to us the comfort arising from our adoption, which brings about a great peace to our spirit and to our soul. The spirit of adoption, the gift which God confers on His children by grace. In the Message Bible in Romans, it says, life with God is adventurously expectant, meaning full of excitement, excited to see what's going to happen. And as little children, we can't wait to see. And how do we respond? What's next, Daddy? What's next? What do you got in for us? What's your purpose? What's your plan for us? And when you ask that, He will let you know. And how's he going to let you know? By that small, still, quiet voice. The Holy Spirit in you reveals the plans. Leaves you without question. And you know, back when Paul wrote Romans, slaves were never allowed to call their masters Abba. That was a word for free-born children only. No man can speak with God as God's children may. You get that? It means you're free. See, distance is the slave's place. They were kept at a distance. Only the children may draw near. That was pretty cool. I like that. Who the Son sets free then is free indeed. Amen. See, it's all about Jesus. So build your relationship with Him. And you will get to know Daddy. You will get to know the Father. Colossians chapter 1, verse 15. Colossians chapter 1, verse 15. Christ is the exact likeness of the unseen God. He existed before God made anything at all. And in fact, Christ Himself is the Creator who made everything in heaven and earth. The things we can see and the things we can't. The spirit world with its kings and kingdoms, its rulers and authorities, all were made by Christ for His own use and glory. He was before all else began, and it is His power that holds everything together. See, when you think the world's coming apart, it's not. Jesus is holding it together. There's going to be a lot of rumors of wars. You're going to hear a lot of things about people developing nuclear weapons. Rely on the fact that the Word says Jesus has got it all together. He's not going to let man destroy what He created. Now, men have tried. We're all evident of that. But they haven't succeeded, and they will not succeed. He is the head of the body, made up of His people. That is, His church, which He began. And He is the leader of all those who arise from the dead, so that He is first in everything. So Jesus is the likeness of the unseen God. We have descriptions of Jesus, so we can picture God. And by Him all things were created in heaven and on earth. And He is the firstborn from the dead because of the resurrection, that in all things He may have preeminence, to be the first, to hold first place, the fact of surpassing all others, having superiority, predominance, greatness, supremacy. He's the first. He holds the first place. Colossians verse 19. For God wanted all of Himself to be in His Son. It was through what His Son did that God cleared a path for everything to come to Him. All things in heaven and on earth. For Christ's death on the cross has made, ready for this, peace with God for all by His blood. For all by His blood. Not for a chosen few, but all. The blood of the Lamb. It's all about Jesus. No other intermediary, no other person is able to stand in our place before the Father. Only Jesus can do this. You can't do it on your own, and you can't do it through works, folks. Through Jesus, we are reconciled to God through His shed blood. Jesus made us righteous when He bore our sins on His cross. Righteousness means to be without sin, in right standing with God, without any guilt or condemnation. Because in Romans 1, it says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Holy Spirit. Righteousness also enables us to stand in authority over Satan without any guilt or inferiority, because Jesus has made us free from Satan's power and has given us authority over him. Jesus has given us ecstasia, the power of authority over Satan. He delegated it to us. Use it. When he starts talking to you, use it. Give him a scuff. A hard one. You knock him all the way down then. Colossians 1, verse 21. At one time, you were far away from God and were His enemies because of the evil things you did and thought. Yeah, He knows your thoughts. But now, by means of the physical death of His Son, God has made you His friends in order to bring you holy, pure, and faultless into His presence. You must, of course, continue faithful on a firm and sure foundation, Jesus, and must not allow yourselves to be shaken from the hope you gained when you heard the gospel. It is this gospel that I, Paul, became a servant. This gospel which has been preached to everybody in the world. And we got to continue to preach the word. Where are you preaching that? On the bus. In the office. Preaching it at home. You go to your PTA meeting, you preach to them. Don't be ashamed of the gospel. When given the opportunity, let the Holy Spirit move. And the words, you'll be surprised that come out. We were far away. We were alienated from God because of the fall, when sin came in. But because of what Jesus did at the cross, He restored our relationship to God. A relationship of peace and friendship. When you acknowledge the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, and you asked Him to be your Lord and Savior, He then could present you holy, blameless, flawless, and above reproach to the Father. Holy. Consecrated to God. Sacred. Blameless. Innocent of wrongdoing. Flawless. Having no flaw or imperfection. Perfect. Above reproach. Such that no criticism can be made without fault. No condemnation. Criticism is condemnation. And therefore there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. It's all about Jesus. God decided from the onset, though, to shape our lives. Those who He loves. We Because he loves us. Because of him, his son. And he wants us to be shaped along the same lines of his son. That's the way God looks at you. That's what he wants to do for you. We just got to be willing and obedient. Which means he gave it some serious thought. After all, life under the law. You know, that's what the children of Israel had had asked for. It was an impossible life to live under the law. A life where that if you made one mistake, you broke even one law that God had established, it disqualified one from receiving any blessings at all that God had longed to give to each and every one of us. Yeah, to his people. One breaking took away all the blessings. The God, what God missed, though, and what he wanted back, was he wanted that intimacy. The intimacy that had been lost between him and his creation. Between you and him. And I just asked Vicky, I said, Vic, I said, didn't you used to sing a song a long time ago by Lauren L. Harris called I Miss My Time With You? She says, yeah, I did. Well, in the song, and she did an awesome job, by the way. She got a beautiful voice. And it says, anyhow, I miss my time with you. Those moments together. I need to be with you each day. I miss my time with you. That's God speaking. When she sang that song, that was God speaking to her. Because when she worships, she truly worships. Maybe someday. God sent his son into the world to reestablish the intimacy that had been lost. When we ask Jesus into our heart, God then can start to do the shaping and the working in us. Because in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, it says, and I am sure that God, who began the good work within you, will keep right on helping you grow in his grace until his task within you is finally finished on the day when Jesus Christ returns. He's going to be working and shaping you to the day that Jesus comes home to reign here on this earth. God is and will always be faithful to complete the work that he has begun in you. He is working and shaping our lives along the same lines as the life of Jesus. And all I got to say is praise be to God, the Father that he is, you know, to work with someone like me. You know, I'm being humble before you. I mean, and before him. Wow. I mean, that takes a loving, understanding, compassionate Father. And one who's not afraid to bring a little rebuke once in a while. And a few scuffolas. But he wants us to grow up. He wants us to be mature Christians in him. He wants us to be like Christ. God is so loving. Because God is love. He gave to us what he enjoyed the most. The joy and love of his life. The intimacy of the relationship that he had with his son. Everything that his son enjoyed, he wants us to enjoy. Everything that his son has access to, he wants us to know that we have full access to it as well. There's nothing that he will withhold from us. Nothing. See, Jesus came so that we could have life. And that we could have life more abundantly. Abundant life is life abounding in fullness of joy, strength, free from stress and aggravations. He promised. Yes, He promised. And He is faithful and trustworthy to deliver on the promises. He is so worthy of our praise. So worthy. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Verse 31 through 39. Romans chapter 8. Verse 31 through 39. What can we ever say to such wonderful things as these? If God is on our side, who can ever be against us? Yeah, who can ever be against us? We know that. No one. Verse 32. Since He did not spare His own Son for us, but gave Him up for us all, won't He surely give us everything else? Since God has given us His greatest thing ever, His Son, He will give us all good things. Because that's all He has in heaven is good things. And they all come down from our Father in heaven. Who dares accuse us whom God has chosen for His own? Will God? No! He is the one who has forgiven us and given us right standing with Himself. We are God's elect. And if God, the supreme judge, I said supreme. We have Supreme Court justices. He is supreme judge. And they better be careful on what they do in their positions because He will judge them for it. The supreme judge. He forgives us. He justifies us, vindicates, acquits, exonerates us. Guess what then? We are free. We are free. We are free. Verse 34. Who then will condemn us? Will Christ? No. For He is the one who died for us and came back to life again for us and is sitting at the place of the highest honor next to God, pleading for us there in heaven. Since Jesus has fully justified us and is presently interceding for us 24/7, then no one can possibly bring condemnation on us. No one. There is no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. It's all about Jesus. Verse 35. Who then can ever keep Christ's love from us? When we have trouble or calamity, when we are hunted down or destroyed, is it because He doesn't love us anymore? And if we are hungry and penniless, or in danger or threatened with death, has God deserted us? No! For the Scriptures tell us that for His sake, we must be ready to face death at every moment of the day. We are like sheep awaiting slaughter. But despite all this, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us enough to die for us. Verse 38. For I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from His love. Death can't, and life can't. The angels won't, and all the powers of hell itself can't keep God's love away. Our fears for today, our worries about tomorrow, or where we are, high above the sky or in the deepest ocean, nothing will ever be able to separate us from the love of God demonstrated by our Lord Jesus Christ when He died for us. What's love got to do with it?
Everything.
God's love is, for us, everlasting. And it is measureless. Measureless. Can't be measured. Because there's no distance. There's no distance. So I don't care how many rulers you got. And you got one of those new ones that sit down and go out and zip it out. It's just going to go and go and go. It can't be measured. It can't be measured in a cup, pint, quart, gallon. No, it cannot be measured. God loves us so much and blesses us continually, every day. Are you aware of it? Are you aware of the blessings? How about the favor that we walk in? Well, man tries to steal from you, he can't. And if you're a tither, he can't rob your finances, can he? Praise the Lord. We have everything that Jesus has. God's word has declared it to be true. That means it's a fact. We have been adopted into his family, and our spirit can cry out then, Abba, Father. It can cry out, Daddy. We became his children by grace through the spirit of adoption. Grace has so much in it. We're just getting little pieces of it. When we start to really start getting the revelation of grace, what's in there? Whew. Just like your little thing since now. You know, boom. I'm just telling you. We then became heirs because we were adopted. Joint heirs with Jesus. And what an inheritance that we have. Plus, we have the greatest benefit package ever to be amassed, full of his promises to be enjoyed now. His promises you can take straight to the bank. You can deposit them into your heart and draw upon them as needed. When we find ourselves in any situation, be it a financial, emotional, stress-related thing, health issues, especially health issues, his promises will be in the bank account of your heart. And out of the abundance of that bank account in your heart, the mouth will speak. May I say, word up. Speak his promises to your situation. We find ourselves too often speaking about our situation instead of speaking to it. When we speak the promises of his words are powerful. And when spoken in faith, they will not return void without accomplishing what they were sent out to do. See, it's all about Jesus and what he did. Has nothing to do with the me, myself, and I, the group of self, the self-helps group, me, myself, and I. The Word tells us in 1 John 4:17, as he is, so are we in this world. Are you hearing that? As he is, so are we in this world. As he is, Jesus is a conqueror. So are we in this world. So in this world, we are conquerors. In fact, we are more than conquerors. That scripture means a lot more to you, doesn't it now? Yeah. Ephesians chapter 1, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 through 10. I wouldn't disappoint you, Dean. Message Bible. How blessed is God? And what a blessing he is. He's the Father of our Master, Jesus Christ. And he takes us to the high places of blessing in him. Long before he laid down earth's foundations, he had us in mind, had settled on us as the focus of his love to be made whole and holy by his love. What's his love got to do with it? Long, long ago, he decided to adopt us into his family through Jesus Christ. What pleasure he took in planning this. His plan. And his plans will come together. He wanted us to enter into the celebration of His lavish gift giving by the hand of His beloved Son. Because of the sacrifice of the Messiah, His blood poured out on the altar of the cross, we're a free people, free of penalties and punishments chalked up by all our misdeeds, things we did. They've been expunged, folks. And not just barely free or expunged either. Absolutely free. He thought of everything, provided for everything we could possibly need, letting us in on the plans He took such delight in making. He set it all out before us in Christ. A long-range plan in which everything would be brought together and summed up in Him, everything in deepest heaven, everything on planet Earth. In Him, it's all about Jesus. Amen? But that's right. We have what God's Word says we have, and there is no greater authority to be had on any subject. The greater authority lives in us. Greater is He that is living on the inside of us than he that is in the world. We have what the Word says we have, and we are what the Word says we are. It's all about Jesus. It's not because of what you or I have done. It's because of what He has done for us. His perfection covers our imperfections. He is our qualification to receive all the benefits and our inheritance along with Him, as God promised us. And He who promises faithful. See, it's all about Jesus. It's all about what He accomplished on His cross. Amen? Not bad.